Thank you. Well, if you're going to play banjo, you have to have some sort of, make some sort of mention of Bill Monroe, who's the father of bluegrass music, who died 5 or 6, 7 years ago, something like that. And I had the chance to see Bill Monroe on quite a few occasions over the years. The most memorable happened when I was in college, going to Syracuse University. It was my freshman year of college, and actually just before that, Labor Day weekend, and this was 1966, I guess it was, I went down to a bluegrass festival. It was the second bluegrass festival in Fincastle, Virginia. Excuse me. And Bill Monroe was down there, and our guitar player lived in Rochester, New York, and started talking to Pete Rowan, the guitar player in Bill Monroe's band at that time, and found out that the bluegrass boys were going to be in Rochester, New York, playing at the university there. And our guitar player, Joel, was able to invite the bluegrass boys over to his parents' house for dinner before the show on a Saturday night. This was October of 66. And now, it turned out that the whole band was going to show up kind of in the morning on that Saturday, sometime mid-morning. It was my freshman year, as I was mentioning, and so I had a Saturday morning philosophy class that I was supposed to go to. And I was such a goody two-shoes that I decided to go to my philosophy class instead of seeing Bill Monroe and the Bluegrass Boys at my guitar player's parents' house. And it was the only course that I ever got a D in, I should mention that also. My grade average was generally better than that, but I got a D in that. So it was all sort of useless endeavor to go to that philosophy class. But be that as it may, I showed up in the afternoon at my up in Rochester, New York, and there in front of my friend's parents' houses, the bluegrass bus with these two steer horns on the front of it and the Nashville plates, and go in there, and there's Bill Monroe and the Bluegrass Boys. And again, I was maybe 18 at the time, and Bill Monroe could walk on water as far as I was concerned back then. And there they are in their suits and ties, and before dinner, Bill Monroe asked us, we had our band there, yes, he asked if we'd like to play some music together, and I said, no, not at all. Get to play with Bill Monroe? Yeah, right. So he was our mandolin player for a few tunes. Then we had dinner, and he told a story while he was drinking some red wine about how he had a hound dog when he was a kid who could track a rabbit through the streets of Chicago if the trail was like 3 weeks old, things like that. And then afterwards, Monroe's asked us if we'd like to have the Bluegrass Boys play for us. And so there we are sitting on the couch in, again, my friend's parents' living room. And there are the Bluegrass Boys in their suit and ties playing requests for about 20 minutes. And then we got to ride over to the show in the Bluegrass bus. And the banjo player, Lamar Greer, was the bus driver, as banjo players always seem to be in those situations. And I remember him pulling a U-turn in the middle of the largest, busiest downtown street in Rochester on this Bluegrass bus. I was very impressed. So it was one of those peak youthful experiences. So I'm going to do a medley of Bill Monroe tunes. And the first is one of the tunes that Bill Monroe had just recorded, or actually just had written back then in 66, called Crossing the Cumberlands, a beautiful, lonesome tune. And the second tune is one called Santa Claus, which is actually written off an old tune. It's a Bill Monroe tune written off another tune called I Don't Love Nobody, Nobody Loves Me, which is one of those kind of depressing country songs. And then the third song was called Shenandoah Breakdown that Bill Monroe wrote. And I've always wondered what a breakdown was. And Steve Martin, the comedian, wrote a little thing in the Oxford American about the banjo. It's a literary magazine. And he described what a breakdown was. So Steve Martin says this about breakdowns, just so you know. Some bluegrass instrumentals are called breakdowns, which simply describes a song that is played very fast. When a song had the word breakdown in its title, it acquired a mystical oomph that sent the adrenaline rushing and the fingers pumping, whether they were quite ready to play that fast or not. It had the same cachet that the word raptor had after the movie Jurassic Park was released. Breakdowns were the meanest and baddest of the banjo tunes. Whenever I played a breakdown, I wanted everyone who was in listening distance to understand that this was something very special indeed. I would convey this by standing on my tiptoes and getting a very serious look on my face and moving my lips. That's a breakdown. All right, so here's this Bill Monroe medley. I guess I'll stand because you have to stand to play bluegrass.